Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of meeting together with our spiritual family this morning. Thank you that we have the freedom to do that, Lord. And Father, we think this morning of those across this world, maybe meeting at this time or at different times during the day, who have to do that in secrecy, that they're unable, Lord, they're afraid and unable to speak out or meet together because that's inhibited by the rules of the land that they live in. Father, we want to thank you this morning, Lord, that there's no one and nothing that is beyond your love and your care. There's nobody, Lord, nobody. Your love encompasses everybody, Lord, and everything. Father, we pray for those who are the decision makers of our country. We pray for wisdom, Lord, and for your view. Father, we pray for the people of our town here in South Woodham. We pray for individual needs, for their needs. We pray for this money that's been given today, that it is used wisely, Lord, in that work. And Father, we think ahead to the camps, the Boys and Girls Brigade camps that will be going away and the holiday clubs that will be going on. Father, you work, you move, you breathe through the things that we do and we say. We are your mouthpiece, Lord. And for the leaders that will be taking part in those or those that will be supporting, we pray for their strength, Lord, that you uphold them, that you give them those words, that you give them your wisdom, Lord, that they are your mouthpiece. And Father, there are many, many needs that we know of individuals this morning. We pray for those that are waiting for hospital appointments or they're waiting for test results. We pray for those that are ill and are recovering. And Father, we pray for those who are ill and are not recovering, Lord. We pray for those who are caring for the sick. Just for a moment, just hold those people in your mind, those people that you know have need for your special touch, for your healing, and to be alongside this moment. In your precious name and through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we lay these prayers before you. Amen.
Amen.
If you've got your Bibles with you, we're in the Old Testament this morning, Amos. Amos 7. This is what he showed me. This is Amos. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that he had built true to a plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, "What do you see, Amos?" "A plumb line," I replied. Then the Lord said, "Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword, I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words, for this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." Then Amaziah said to Amos, Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy any more at Bethel, because this is a king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom." Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel.
Do you know an Amos? Do you know an Amos? I knew an Amos. It was a long time ago when I was little. He was my Sunday school teacher. And over the last few weeks, I've struggled to get away from, we used to call him Uncle Amos. Like Boys Brigade call Martin, Mr. Holden. Or they call you Mr. Sharp, don't they, Michael? And Mr. Cottrell. Yeah, and I was out playing golf at Pitch and Putt with them the other night, and I said, they could call me Pete. And I thought, hang on. One referred to me as Mr. Smee, and I'm saying, no, you can call me Pete. I even tell my grandchildren they can call me Pete, much to Hazel's annoyance. And they do. But Amos, huh. Okay, where are we? Oh, right, we are a long way down the Old Testament. Lots of things have gone on. We're past Daniel. Amos comes before Obadiah, who has got one page. He's classed in down in the minor prophets. But what's happening? God is not happy. God is well cross. And I mean seriously, seriously, seriously cross. He wants to wipe out the tribe of Israel. He's not going to muck about. He's going to send a whole swarm of locusts that he's got ready in the desert to come across and eat the whole crop so there will be no food left. And Amos goes, oh God, God, please don't do it. The tribe of Jacob will not survive. Please don't do it. And God changes his mind and doesn't do it. Why does God want to do that? Because at this time, under Jeroboam the second, they are very prosperous. They are very wealthy. And the poor, the oppressed, the slaves are just getting wiped out. They're not worried about. People are prosperous. Yeah, great. Compassion, justice, it's all gone out the window. It doesn't happen. And God's going, and yes, they are trying to worship, but they are only trying on an outward appearance. It doesn't mean anything inside. And God doesn't accept their sacrifices or their worship. And then he says, right, okay, I've got a fire out in the desert and I'm going to sweep it right across the land. And it is going to scorch up everything and that's it. And again, Amos goes, no, 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 don't, no, please, 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 God, do not do it. Who is this bloke? Who is he? He's just an ordinary guy. He's a shepherd. And he looks after, what did it say? Sycamore figs? Fig tree. That takes a fair bit of work because he has to split the figs and that's not just looking after a tree and, oh yeah, it's going to grow. There's a fair bit of work involved in doing that. And God says to him, I want you to take my word to the people. He didn't go to, what was it, Amaziah? Was that his name?
Yeah.
Did I pronounce it right? Okay. It didn't go to him at the chief priest at Bethel, where the king's temple was. He didn't go, oh, right, hang on, I'm going to give you a vision. You can tell the people. No, because he was not accepting their worship. Because it was just on the surface. It meant nothing to them. And God was set to wipe them out. And Amos goes, no. Okay, the third time in our reading, Amos gets a vision. Now, Jesus hasn't been. He hadn't got the Holy Spirit. He was being directly talked to by God. I know we say they're three in one, right? But imagine being actually directly talked to by God. And he says, what do you see? Well, I see a plumb line. Okay, what's a plumb line? Okay, back in the old days, when I was an apprentice, maybe 40 years ago, we had things like this, which is a spirit level. I can't actually ever remember using one of these. I've got one, but it was a plumb line. And God says, I'm going to measure what's going on by that plumb line. Nowadays, we have these. Well, these are great fun. So if I want to work out what's straight, I use one of these. Or if I want to work out where that is, there, but I want to put a light fitting down there, I can do that, and I can put a dot on the ceiling, and I know that that's on the same line all the way down that bit of wood. Oh, yeah, right on that one down there. Oh, look, they run out a little bit. Oh, look. Oh, hang on, that should go straight, and it don't. Oh, right. Okay. Who built it? Okay, hand up. Who put that bit of wood up? That's how I gauge whether things nowadays, we've moved on a bit from plumb lines. But God says, I'm going to measure what's going on by a plumb line. And I'm going to give them a test. I'm going to measure or not whether or not they are true to that plumb line. Because that's how they built their walls. That's how they knew when they built their structures. That if you put something heavy on the end of a bit of string and you hold it still, it will give you a straight line down. And they can make a mark and, hang on, is that wall going up straight? Or is it going up like the Leaning Tower of Pisa? No, as they've straightened that back up. Because it was built straight, it's just subsided. You can't build it like that, can you, Phil? No. I mean, I expect you sometimes, you think, oh, hang on, what have they done here? But God was going to measure what was going on. And still he's not happy. But Amos actually stood up and did what God asked him to do. There were consequences from Amos's action. What were those consequences? Amaziah, the priest, writes to the king and says, he's actually saying that you're going to get killed by the sword, and he's actually saying we're going to get wiped out, and he's actually saying we are not going to exist anymore. Now, we don't know whether Jeroboam, didn't actually go back and say, right, hang on, lock him up, chuck him in the dungeon, do all of that. But actually, Amaziah actually challenges Amos and says, go away from Bethel. Go back to Judah, where you came from. You can prophesy no more. No more. You can say no more. You cannot keep saying what you're saying. Go away. We don't want to hear. Go away. And he says, but I'm not a prophet. I'm a shepherd. I don't earn my bread by being a prophet. Go away. I'm not a prophet. So the others that were prophets at that time must be false prophets, because they weren't actually delivering what God was saying. Because God actually had to go and find a shepherd, say, right, okay, I accept what you're doing in your relationship with me, because you're living right and you've got a good relationship with me. I can talk to you. I can't talk to that lot over there. You know, because they are not living how they should be living. I can talk to you because you're doing that. Right, okay, will you listen to me? Yeah, I'll listen to you. Okay. Oh, gosh, right, I've got to go and say that. All right, but he goes and does it. Amos has two more visions. One of a fruit basket, and then one of the restoration of Israel. But 50 years on, God is not looking for them to repent. In Amos 2, 3 and 4, he's given them the chance to repent. No more. God just wants to wipe them out and say, that's it, I've had enough. Do you ever go, oh, I've had enough? Do you ever get to that point in exasperation and go, you know, I've had enough? Well, God was past that point. God was at the point of wiping them out. Hard, isn't it? How cross must he have been? Whew. The consequences for Amos didn't matter. He was prepared to stand up. You see, okay, if we leave Amos, who else was prepared to stand up regardless of the consequences? Who else through the Bible who was prepared to stand up regardless of the consequences? Jesus. Jesus, yeah. Anybody else?
Stephen,
yeah, Stephen. What happened to Stephen? He got stoned, didn't he? Yeah. But he didn't know God took him straight up to heaven. Can't imagine being stoned, can you? We've looked at that before. Anybody else? Paul?
Daniel?
Anybody else?
Gideon?
Yeah?
Joshua?
Peter and John? Yeah? Anybody else? What happened to John the Baptist? Got his head chopped off. Why?
Because he criticised bad living in the leaders.
Herod divorced his wife and he's married his brother's wife. And John actually said, wait, you can't do that. Regardless of the fact you're both divorcees, back in Leviticus, it says you cannot, you know, that's almost incest. You can't do that. And John actually spoke up. And she didn't like it. And they looked and they plotted. And without a trial, John lost his head. But it didn't stop him saying. There are consequences to their actions. Philip, actually, when we've looked at before, he actually got up and did what God wanted and when met the Ethiopian eunuch. He, you know, there was a consequence to his action. The Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia being baptised and being a Christian. You know. Boom. Right. Bring it up to today. What we learn and understand this morning, and we've sung the song, Open Our Eyes, Lord, there's a consequence to that action. By coming together and worshipping together, we want to understand what God wants in our lives more. There's a consequence to our action. Sometimes we say, actions speak louder than words. Yeah. But sometimes words need to be spoken before actions. And sometimes actions need to follow words, and sometimes words need to follow actions. It doesn't matter which way round you do it, it still needs to happen. Right. Okay. Talk to the person next to you, not who you live with or who you're married to or related to, same as we did with the children. Talk to that person on why you believe what you do. Yeah. Why do you believe what you do? Try it. Why? Okay, what happens if someone... All right, before you do that, right. What happens if it's at work or a neighbour or a friend or a family member says to you, why are you a Christian? Why do you believe what you do? Why do you believe there's a God? Oh, if there's a God, why does that happen? It can't be. There can't be a God. They actually ask you things, don't they? What is your response? Your response is you believe that because there's something inside. Try it. Go on. Try talking to the person alongside you why you believe what you do. Okay. How you getting on? Right. What was some of your responses? What were some of your responses? Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's also who you meet.
It's who you meet has a big influence. There were two men at a hospital. And one came into the room who just had a procedure done. And there was another man sitting in the room waiting to go and have a procedure done. And while they were waiting, one said to the other, well, what you just had done? Well, I've just had some... Thumb was all stuck up in the air, and they just had some splints all put in there, and it was just all being done, and it was stuck up in the air. And the other man said to him, what are you going to have done? Well, I'm going to have something done on my hand and something done on my head and all that. And he said, well, the guy that had the thumb turned around and said to him, can I pray for you before you go? And he went, yeah. And the other man turned around and said to him, can I pray for you? Because I'm a Christian as well. And they were sitting in a room on their own. And he said, well, where do you go to? And he said, well, I go there and I go to this church there. And they had a time of prayer together. Because they were prepared to share what they believed. They didn't know one another. They were just sitting in a room together. And they were prepared to share, to encourage, to help the other person. And it's as simple as that. And that's what Amos did. He was prepared to share. And you've just shared, okay, I might say this is safe zone, isn't it? It's safe zone. But we need to turn that round, and that needs to happen to the person in the office, to the person in the family or another family member, to the person you work with, for the person you travel with on the train or the bus or the car. And it needs to happen to the person in the shop or, you know, when you're standing in the queue at Asda and it's four trolleys deep and you're thinking, well, all bus... Q-busters, come to the deals, please. You know, you're standing there and do you talk to the person in front of you and go, oh, gosh, wish they'd employ more people, you know. Or do you get to sort of know somebody? And There's a man standing on a corner, and he's holding a bunch of balloons. And they're all up in the air, and they're standing there holding this bunch of balloons. And after a while, a little boy comes across the street, and he stands there, and he's watching this guy. And about half hour later, he says to him, "Mister, will the red balloon go as high as the blue balloon?" "Yes." And then a few minutes later, he goes, "Will the green balloon go as high as the black balloon?" And he goes, "Yes." "And will the green balloon and the blue balloon go as high as the orange balloon?" "Yes." And then he says, So the man goes over to the little boy over the road, and he pulls down his balloons, and he gives him a balloon. And he says, "It's not what's on the outside that makes them fly, it's what's on the inside that makes them fly." It's not what's on the outside of you that makes you fly, that makes you understand and love Jesus. It's what's on the inside. To give out, we've got to take in. To share with somebody, we've got to know. And when we know, we're all different colour balloons, but we're all going up to the same place. How will you fly? When someone gives you, when Jesus comes along as the balloon holder and gives you to somebody else and says, "Say something," will you be prepared to do it? Amos was prepared to do it. It may cost us time. It may cost us, we're thinking, "Oh, but what will they think of us? Oh, they'll be embarrassed. Oh, I can't. I'll be embarrassed. Oh, I'll say it wrong. Oh, no, I'm too shy. I'm no good with words. I stutter." Why has God put that person alongside you? Because you are the person that can speak to that person. That's why. That's why you have that opportunity. There will be consequences to those actions. We might never know what they are, but for the person you share with, there will be massive consequences. 50 years on from when Amos brought these prophecies, the children of Israel got taken away by the Assyrian and they went off into exile. And it's only in chapter 9 does actually God share with Amos that they'll be all right and he will restore it in time. Don't let us get into a place where God has to measure us by a plumb line and our lives are so wrong that we are so out of kilter with God that he has nothing better to do than wipe us out. We sung, "Open my eyes of my heart, Lord. Open my eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy. If we've got that inside us, if we're those balloons, we will fly because we've taken it in and we'll be able to share it. I get the feeling that these people were never realised themselves as special people. They were just the same as you and me. The only factor is they were prepared to listen to what God was saying and they acted on it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have set up a plumb line. You measure all our words and our behaviour by it. You want us to speak out for you by what we do and what we say. Today, we affirm our intention to live an honest and true life for you. We will speak out your truth when you ask us to. We will act on your truth in everything we do. Think about that for a moment. I'm going to read it one more time and I'm going to say amen. If you want to say amen, whether that's quietly or out loud, that is up to you. Heavenly Father, you have set up a plumb line. You measure all our words and our behaviour by it. You want us to speak out for you by what we do and what we say. Today we affirm our intention to live an honest and true life for you. We will speak out your truth when we are asked to, and we will act out your truth in everything we do. Amen.